Last week we were talking about, we're going to have communion this morning, but we're going to have it the latter half of our service. Last week we were talking about loving like Jesus. And I read an article this week about another pastor in Oklahoma City. His name is Pastor Bates. And his quote was perhaps what I wanted to, or tried to convey last week. You see, Pastor Bates is going through a difficult time too, because he had a series, maybe some of you saw the article, a sermon series this last month or so. And in a week or two of those series, he talked about sin. And as he talked about homosexuality, people in his church got up and began to leave. And so Pastor Bates, as I read that article, many people, it's a very large church in Oklahoma City, and many people are at the church, but many people got up and left. And Pastor Bates said it this way, and this is perhaps what I'm trying to articulate better than I did, but I thought it fits so well with what I was trying to say last week, I mean, in loving our neighbors like Jesus would love them. Here's what he said. I want to be clear. Anybody can come to our church. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't care if you've had a sex change. That's not my issue. But don't come in, he said, and expect us to rewrite the Bible to accommodate your lives or your choices. I'm still going to preach the same message because it is the standard bearer. It is the plumb line that everything else is measured against. And so I want to reiterate to you this morning, this is our standard. Amen? This is what we will go by. This is what guides us in life. And even though I said last week over and over, we need to love like Jesus loved, this has not changed. Jesus has not changed, nor will the message from here, at least from this pulpit, change, because this is our standard. And so, I wanted to just say that because sometimes, not just sometimes, all over in America, we're in difficult times. The church is being challenged, and pastors are being challenged, and the denominations and Christian organizations are being challenged. And even though Frank showed me on the front page of the Minneapolis Tribune that Franklin Graham did make the front page of that paper, he didn't get zip in most of the TV stations when 6,000 people were down here praying with him. And so we are in difficult times, to be sure. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the church still needs to love the unlovable. And it doesn't take away from the fact that the church needs to reach out and embrace our neighbors, and even when there are enemies, and perhaps some of them will come to know Christ. It doesn't take away from that. The mission has, from Jesus, continues when he says, go and make disciples. That hasn't changed. And so we must be about that. We must be about that every day in our everyday living. Last week we talked about loving like Jesus. Today I wanted, for a few minutes, because we're going to do communion, talk about weeping with Jesus. Oftentimes, some of you remember the song that our praise team leads us in. It's the words are, break our heart for what breaks yours. We sing that. I don't know if you remember that or not, or you noticed, but we sing that. Break our heart for what breaks yours. And I wonder, have you wondered what breaks the heart of God? When I read articles like that, I just read about this significantly large church and hundreds leaving because of a sermon from Scripture, it breaks my heart. Probably breaks the heart of God. I don't know what breaks the heart of God more today, but I'm sure sin does. Lukewarm Christianity does. Coldness to his message does. Human suffering does. We're going to see from Scripture in John chapter 11 this morning, death grieved the heart of Jesus. And so I don't know what might break the heart of God most, but I know there's a lot of things that are breaking his heart today. And remember, too, what I said last week. When we were talking about loving like Jesus, I said, when you are at the very depth of pain, or when the world around us is at the very depth of pain, the world has nothing to offer but Jesus. We have Jesus. The world has nothing to offer you in the worst of pain except for more of where you're already headed. But we, brothers and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ, have everything to offer in Jesus. And even though the world seems to be going to heck in a handbasket around us, we still have Jesus to offer. Amen? He has not changed. He is still on the throne. And so, when the world is in the very depths of pain, like it looks like we are, it looks like America is in the very depths of pain, we still have Jesus to offer the hurting world. And I don't want us to forget that. He is the answer to life. He is the answer to our pain. He is the answer to our troubles. Jesus is the answer to our hurts. And when we are in the very depths of pain or sin or hurt or worry or despair, the only answer is Jesus. When humanity fails us, we need to give God glory because He is our answer. When humanity fails us, Jesus will not. Even when our flesh dies, Jesus has not failed us. And so when the world around us hurts us in the depth of pain, we must love our neighbors like Jesus would love them. So some of them will come to know Him. And I wondered this last few days, when the world is in the depths of trouble and hurt and pain and anguish and all that stuff that I've just talked about, do we weep with their pain? Do we even care? Do we weep at the things that made Jesus weep when He was here? Or do we even care? In John 11, there's a story. I have two quick stories this morning from Scripture about Jesus weeping. And I want to draw our attention to this morning to the fact of loving like Jesus loved, but also weeping at what Jesus weeps. In John 11, you know the story. Mary and Martha have lost their brother Lazarus. You know that Jesus stayed away for a few extra days and allowed the death to happen. He went into the grave, and then He said to His disciples, "It's now time to go." You know that story, I'm pretty sure. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 32. Because when He had got there, He encountered Martha, and then He encountered Mary. And when He encountered Mary, the Bible says in verse 32, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying, 'Lord, if You would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit, and He was troubled, and He said, 'Where have you laid Him?' And they said to Him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. He wept at their anguish. He wept with them at their loss. Lazarus was His friend too. And the Jews said, "See how He loved Him." And some of them said, verse 37, and some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Was the question, and the answer is yes, He could have. And yes, He could have stopped the last one of our friends from dying, or the last one of our friends from getting cancer. And yes, He could have done this, that, or the other thing. But He sees a picture much bigger than we see. And if you recall the story back in the early parts of this chapter, He said very specifically, this death, He was talking about Lazarus, is going to be to the glory of God. Yes, He raised him back up, and Lazarus dies again anyway. But God uses these difficult circumstances to bring Himself glory. And so the answer to that man, those Jewish people that said that day, couldn't He who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And the answer is yes, He could have. But He brings glory to Himself out of tragedy in so many cases. You see, Jesus enters into human pain with His family. He enters into their pain and He weeps with them. He enters into the pain of the mourners, and Jesus weeps at the loss of His friend because of their pain. They probably were thinking, and sometimes we think, why didn't He do something? And we must recognize in this story and in our story, maybe He is. Maybe He is doing something that we don't see. And so I wonder this morning, and I ask myself and I ask us in the church, do we hurt when our neighbors hurt? I hurt when I hear from my friends, Don and Helen Harvey, and they tell me the tragedy in their lives. My heart hurts. Or when I know of another loved one or another neighbor or co-worker, former co-worker that is sick unto death or maybe has died. I wonder how often do we hurt when our neighbors hurt? How often do we hurt with them? How often do we offer comfort them? In Luke 19, beginning at verse 39, there's another little story. This one is the story of the triumphal entry. You know the story about the triumphal entry. And Luke adds, beginning at verse 39, some other scriptures that I want to share this morning. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Remember, this is at the triumphal entry. People are crying out, "Hosanna." And he, that's Jesus, but he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." And then the Bible says, "Now as he," that's Jesus, "drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known Jerusalem, people of Israel," could be saying people of America today, "if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace." You see, they were looking for the Prince of Peace. They were looking for a conqueror. They were looking for a Messiah. And he says in this very, very little brief sentence, he said, if you had only really known the things that really make for your peace. If you had only really known. But now they are hidden from your eyes. He'd been there for 3.5 years, and by and large they were rejecting him as Messiah and Lord. And so now their hearts were hardened, and the things of God were hidden from their eyes. And for days, he said, for days will come upon you when enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you on every side. That's AD 70 he's talking about, when Rome comes and tramples Jerusalem, kills tens of thousands of them. Jesus is speaking about that very thing. And he will level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. And that broke the heart of the Son of God. Because they missed it. They missed his visitation. They missed the Messiah. And I wonder, people of God today, do we weep at the thought of people missing Jesus? Or do we even care? Do we weep at the thought of family members not ready to go to heaven if they would die today? Do we weep at the thought of co-workers, our neighbors, our nation's leaders, our people that even sit in the church houses? Do we weep at the thought they may not be ready because they haven't made peace with God through faith in Christ? Jesus wept at the thought of Jerusalem and his people missing Jesus. He wept at that. It broke his heart. He came for them. He was to give his life for them in a matter of days. He would hang on the cross and shed his blood. And by and large, they missed it. Do we care in the church today that people are missing Jesus? You say, "Jim, I'm not their judge." No, we're not their eternal judge. But it should break our hearts when we see what we see in America or in our workplaces or in our own family when people reject God or say, "I'm a Christian, I'm as Christian as the next," and live like the world. It should break our heart like it breaks the heart of Jesus. Do we weep at the thought of people missing out on his appearing? Missing out on his forgiveness of sin, missing out on his goodness, missing out on his kingdom. Does that break our hearts like it broke the heart of Jesus? That should break our hearts just like it did the heart of Jesus that day. Jesus wept over the condition of the people. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept because they would reject him. He wept because he was right and they were wrong. Jesus wept over Jerusalem that day because they would be eternally lost. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but the church should be aware, if people haven't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and confessed our sin and repented and called upon Him, they are eternally lost. That's not the gospel of Jim, that's the gospel of Jesus. And that should break our hearts. It should keep us up at night in prayer, praying for those that haven't come to Christ. Bishop Kendall said it this way the other day when we were with them in conference. If we wept more with Jesus, perhaps, if the church would weep at the things that make Jesus weep more often, perhaps the grace of God would be more penetrable in the hardened hearts around us. Maybe if we showed we cared a little bit for their pain, the grace of God would be able to penetrate those hardened hearts around us. Maybe if the church would care like Jesus wept over Jerusalem that day and wept at the tomb of Lazarus that day, maybe if we cared and showed a little more concern and grace and care for those that hurt, maybe the grace of God would penetrate hardened hearts a little bit more often. And so let me just ask us to close, and then we'll get ready for communion. Does sin still grieve our hearts, or are we just grown used to it? Well, it's 2016 after all, preacher, what do you expect? Does sin still grieve our hearts? It grieves the heart of God. Does the lost condition of our nation break your heart? It breaks the heart of God. Do we weep with those that have lost their loved ones? Do we weep with them when they're sick? Jesus did. He wept when He lost His friends. And when I ponder the call of Jesus to come follow me, I believe He also meant for us to follow Him in loving our neighbors and grieving when they hurt with them. And I believe our bishop was right one more time, like he normally is. If we would grieve with our neighbors, maybe they don't know Christ. Maybe they don't look like us. Maybe they don't worship Him at all. But if we would grieve with them a little more like Jesus did when He was here, maybe the grace of God would penetrate some of those hardened hearts and He would do a work in those hearts. After all, the Bible says we're the ones called to plant and water. It's Him that brings the increase. And I believe if we'll love the unlovable and we'll weep with those around us that hurt, I believe He'll give Him another opportunity to bring some of that increase. But if we never love our neighbor, if we never grieve when they grieve, if we never hurt when they hurt, if we never even care, they're not likely to turn to Jesus either. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we celebrate this 4th of July weekend, this Independence Day time, we thank You for our freedoms. We thank You that we live in America. You've blessed us, Lord. You've taken care of us. You've protected us. We live in the greatest nation on earth. And so as we celebrate this Independence weekend, that day tomorrow, Father, help us to be mindful of You. Help us to be mindful, Father, that even though we live in the greatest nation on earth, we're drifting away from You. To use Dr. Charles Stanley's analogy, we're drifting down the river. We're really near the falls. And so, Father, I pray for our nation. I pray for revival in the church. Revival in my heart, in ours, in churches everywhere, all across this land. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would just burst forth in power and the church would come alive in Christ before our nation goes over the falls. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the church we would love like Jesus loved when he was here, without reservation, without condemnation. He just offered love and grace and forgiveness. I pray that we would do that. And I pray that you would use us in the church, Father, to come alongside those that hurt, those that are struggling, those that weep, those that grieve, those that are in pain. Father, use your church to bring glory to you. Use your church to comfort the hurting, to love. Use us, God, to bring glory to you. Thank you for each and every person here today, Father. Will you go with them and help them to have a safe week, a safe holiday? Will you go with us, Father, and help us to have a week that is led by your Spirit? And when you give us those opportunities to love, our first impression would be the unlovable. Help us to do a better job of loving them, because we know Jesus would. And Father, will you show us again and break our hearts for what breaks yours, so we can come alongside of them and offer the hope, the only hope, the eternal hope of Jesus. So thank you, Father, for each person here. Go with us now. I pray it in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.